Hey, what's up? This is Josh from JusticeGeeks.com, and this is a Just Us Geeks interview.
Just let me have your name and tell me a little bit about yourself.
My name is Philip Rollins, also known as DJ Young Venom. During the day, I am a youth justice organizer at the ACLU.
Cool.
By night, I am a disc jockey, or DJ as most commonly known. I DJ pretty much everywhere in the Jackson metro area, from every club from Freelance to Howlin' Miles, Martin's, Dueling Hall. I've done everything from weddings to dances for the Mississippi School of the Deaf.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
So you're almost like a superhero.
Kinda.
That's kind of cool.
Except I have no powers besides listening to music.
I don't know. Like, did you ever play DJ Hero?
I hate DJ Hero.
Okay. Were you good at it?
I sucked at it.
Okay, good. See? Eat it, Marty. When you hear this, eat it. One of the guys that does a show with me, his name's Marty, and he was really good at that game. Like, we went to this convention in Atlanta for the places that we worked, and it came out like right around that time. He was really good at that game,
right?
And I was horrible at that game. He was like, I could be a real DJ, da, 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 da. So yeah,
no,
there you go, Marty. You could not,
you
could not
be
do
a
it
real DJ. you can't mix. It's only one turntable. You cannot, you're mixing two songs on one turntable, and then you're pressing buttons on a plastic record.
I will say that when they demoed that game at this very Best Buy in Jackson, Mississippi, they have a cool little setup out there for it.
Yeah.
I was in there one day looking for something, and this dude was just throwing it down on that thing. It was pretty awesome. I was like, I think I might can do that. Terrible. Yeah. Terrible. Just a video game.
Yeah, I was like, oh, I'm decent enough in a Rock Band. And I was like, I should dominate this game. And I tried it on Best Buy. I was like, man, this feels awkward. This is not
it's
right.
Terrible. This is not right at all. All right. So, tell me how you became who you are. Every good superhero or supervillain has a good backstory.
That's a lot. Well, I'm come from a single family home, just a single parent home. So it's just my mom and me. I'm only child, and as far as music goes, my mom hated hip hop. She never liked it. Always listened to like Kixie 107, which was like the R&B and soul station here in Jackson. And she didn't have a record collection. My grandmother didn't have a record collection. She liked blues. I always go to my grandmother's house on the weekends and over the summer. So all this really stems from me just loving art, because I always drew. Graphite was my medium. I always drew a lot and stuff like that. I was president of the art club in high school, but I always had headphones on in class, listening to music, always downloading new music and listening to mixtapes. It kind of stemmed from me wanting to be a DJ when I watched the movie Juice with Omar Epps, and he was DJ GQ in a battle. That was like the first time I ever seen, or like a lot of people, the first time I ever seen anybody DJ.
Right.
I didn't know any DJs locally, and I always wanted to do it, but I didn't know where to start. And I asked one guy, his name was DJ Fingerprint, and he worked at Bebop. And I was like, yo, I want to learn how to DJ, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, oh, cool. He's like, you got your own equipment? I was like, no, I don't. And he was like, well, when you get your own equipment, I can teach you some stuff. And I'm just like, all right. And I was like, damn, bastard. And I'm trying to learn. I don't know where to begin or what to buy. So after that, I was an A&R for a short time. And mind you, I'm like 19, 20, for a local record label called Von Esper. And it was a hip-hop label. And they wanted me to be the DJ and A&R because I obviously had an ear for music, apparently. So it ended up folding. And once it folded, I started interning at 97.7 and learning from the DJs up there just by going there every day, sending in on the mix shows, learning how to do the board for the radio station, stuff like that. Then I ended up getting my own equipment. During that time, I was DJing. I was going to a spot called Seven Studios. Now, Seven was a hip-hop spot on one night, reggae spot on Friday nights. Sundays was poetry. And it was just a hodgepodge of pretty much everything that was cool to me at the time. It still is cool now. it was like a whole underground urban neo soul hip hop scene, basically. So I used to go to poetry nights, and then I told the owner one day, I said, hey, one day I'm a DJ for poetry nights for you. He's like, yeah, cool, that'd be cool. And then when I finally got my equipment, I was like, hey, I got my equipment. Give me like a month or two, like, you know, really learn it right. He's like, no, you're going to start tomorrow. And I was like, well, I'm not ready. He's like, no, you got your equipment, you can start. And then he announces it on the mic. He's like, yes, tomorrow we're going to have DJ Young Benham in the building. I was just like, wait. And I had my name already, because yeah. I was doing like mixtapes for friends and stuff, and I was giving them to them and stuff, like, not even mixtapes, they were just playlists yeah. on the CD, but I already had, because I had like a terrible name before that. I'll get into that later.
Okay.
But but that's how I kind of got started, and that was 9 years ago, and I've been going ever since.
What about your day job?
My day job, I kind of fell into that through DJing, actually. So I was working at a TV station as a morning show camera guy, mm-hmm. in studio, and it sucked because I had to be there at 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah. set up lights, and I didn't leave till like, I left at like 9 o'clock, so I had the rest of the day, but it was kind of draining to get up
right.
that early. And later on that year, I DJ at various events, and there was a No on 26 rally, and the 26 law was like something against abortion.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into it because it's dead. So I DJed that rally, and after I DJed it, I was kind of looking for another job. I was trying to find my way out, and I talked to the person who organized it. She was like, I was like, hey, is Asa, are you hiring? Is there anything I could do? I'm kind of looking for another job. She was like, well, we may have something coming up in January. I'll let you know. I was like, well, keep me in mind. And she was like, all right, just have your resume ready. So during that time, right after, like, probably the following 2 weeks after that, I got fired. Because, let's face it, I couldn't get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was I kept being late. I'd go in at, like, 5, and I'm like, oh, crap, the camera shots are messed up and whatever. So it was eventually going to happen. So for a while, I was just getting by DJing at a club called Magoo's. And then January came around, and I ended up getting a job at the ACLU as a youth justice organizer. And I worked with them prior before the rally, doing a hip hop summit. I was doing a DJ workshop, so we taught kids we taught them kind of the history of it. That first year I was in it, talking about the Alabama Children's March and how a DJ affects and can be a community organizer. So we taught them that aspect. Then we let them touch turntables, and they got to scratch up and break my needles and stuff like that. So that was fun.
Good, yeah. Right. I mean, I know a lot about this community and how different this community can be depending on where you live in Jackson, which is why I enjoy coming back down to Jackson every now and then. That's a really cool job to have here. Yeah. You know, both of your jobs is a really cool job to have here because you have an opportunity to, you know, put your hands really as far into the community as you can.
Yeah.
That's just a really cool thing.
Yeah, I'm trying to work on a more statewide aspect. Right now, my job, we got a new executive director, so my job has gotten a lot more defined because we didn't have an ED last year. Mm-hmm. So my main job was, like, work on a hip-hop summit. And so after that was, I was like, well, okay, what else do I need to do? They're like, oh, you know, find you something to do, write you out a plan. I was like, wait, I had to write my job out? I don't get that. And, you know, I'm so brand new to this nonprofit stuff, so I really did have to do that.
Right.
So what I came up for myself to do this year, my program is decriminalizing ordinances that will target juveniles. Mm-hmm. So curfews, saggy pants ordinances, stuff like that, that would target kids in an unfair manner. I'm trying to eradicate those laws. It's because saggy pants laws, what I've learned, a lot of places may not enforce them, mm-hmm. but if they do enforce it, they'll not only like citate you for, you know, sagging pants or a low skirt or something like that, they'll also, you know, the kid may talk back, so they'll disobey an officer, being disobedient, belligerent, whatever. So it'll just pile on, and then the kids don't have jobs. Why would you find a kid?
Yeah.
Or so it's kind of ridiculous.
Hmm. Tell me about music. How'd you get into music? Because you have a pretty eclectic taste, from what I can see.
It's not that eclectic. I'm always learning, always willing to learn. Early years, you know, I was pretty much influenced just by what was on radio and what my parents listened to. I hated blues. I hated like Bobby Rush and stuff right now, like back then. But I appreciate it now. Mm-hmm. Like I just saw Bobby Rush and Tunica a couple of weeks ago, and I got an autograph of record for me because he gave an excellent performance. As far as like neo soul and underground hip hop, Tribe, I loved all that stuff before, but I didn't know anybody else that liked Tribe. There was always like the weird category. Mm-hmm. Being in the South, you had to like No Limit, Cash Money, UGK, Outkast, A-Ball, MJG. So anything else beside that was on Rap City that I watched every day after school, it was like different. Like I liked all the New York stuff. DMX was a big influence on me and stuff like that. But it was always had something. I was always listening to something when I was drawing or creating something in art wise. So that's how music. I know how music can affect people and how it's a powerful medium as far as with emotions go. Because when I had my radio show, people were like, "Hey, that mix you did, that I really need to hear that. I was having a rough week," stuff like that. So and when I do play, I play off emotion. So sometimes when you hear my mixes, you be like, "Oh man, that was like really." It may be like all neo soul. You know, I may be going through like some tough times at home. Like me and my fiance may have fought. So, and it leads to like one of my best mixtapes or something like that. Or if I'm happy, I'll play like nothing but like French House or Daft Punk and Justice and stuff like that. Stuff that's upbeat, keeps moving.
I listen to Robot Rock for like 45 minutes straight on the way down here too.
Nice. So, nice.
Sometimes you just need it on repeat.
Yeah. But it definitely sets the mood, and I guess I like the convey of emotion that it brings out in people.
Why do you think music does that?
That's a good question. Why? I mean, some people relate music to a time in their life or a moment that brought them happiness, or it could just be just internally that I couldn't even explain something that you just pick up on. Or for me, it just moves me. Like certain stuff I hear, I'm like, okay, that's cool. And then I'll hear like, you know, some aggressive hard dubstep, I'm like, oh, okay, I need to step back for 5 minutes to this mix plays out.
Yeah.
It's kind of too in my face. Kind of like, I'm getting into jungle now, and I've never been into drum and bass, but I always knew of drum and bass from video games. Mm-hmm. And Toonami, which is weird, but I never really got into it because you always see those promos, and I was like, dang, that was all drum and bass back then. And but when I go to like a drum and bass show, it's all that really hard drum and bass.
Yeah.
And it turns out I like jungle more than drum and bass. So my friend was like, "No, you like jungle. You don't like drum and bass." And I was like, "He's like, I know what you like," because he's like, "I see you walk out the room when drum and bass is played." He's like, "You like it to be melodic and soulful, and it still have that backbeat," which is why like Jamiroquai's "When You're Gonna Learn," that's a jungle song. It's jungle drum and bass beat. So that's a good example. I didn't know what that was. I just knew it was a good song.
Yeah, right.
I didn't know it was an actual jungle song.
How did you get connected with Southern Nerds?
I do a record swap kind of quarterly, at least three times a year here in Jackson, called For the Record. And he registered as a vendor. He wanted to sell T-shirts and coffee. And I don't think he sold that much when he first came down here. I think he just set up his Jason mannequin and then walked around and spent more money than he made, which was unfortunate for him, but it was good to meet him and stuff like that. It turns out we had like a lot of stuff in common, and that's how I linked up with him.
Tell me how you came by your name. I mean, I know because I'm sitting in this room and see all the Venom stuff everywhere, but tell me how you you came by your name?
Well, for those who don't know, I'm African American, which is basically black on the census. So, I'm a big Marvel Comics fan. My mom read comics, and
Your mom read comics?
Yeah, my mom read. She has like 4 long boxes of comics from the 80s to the 90s.
Wow, that's awesome.
Mostly teen books, Avengers, Legion of Superheroes, Red Sonja, Rom Space Knight, X-Men, West Coast Avengers, all that. But in the 90s, I liked X-Men, and Nightcrawler was still my favorite X-Men of all time. And Archangel was probably my second one. So when I was just trying to DJ name, I was like, Nightcrawler doesn't sound right. And so I got to, I was like, Archangel. And I was like, man, that doesn't sound right either. And for a while, I was DJ Archangel. Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, and I was like, well, who's my favorite villain? And I was like, well, Apocalypse. And I was like, Venom is my favorite Spider-Man villain. So Venom came around, and then I was like, well, he's cool. But if I was Venom, I would probably be more Peter Parker. Mm-hmm. So that's where the term young came in, because he's like pretty much a younger Venom, because he had a smart ass mouth, which was pretty much me in high school and to this day. He had an attitude problem when he wore that, had that suit on. So that's where young Venom kind of spawned from.
What all did you read?
Growing up, pretty much basically X-Men, Uncanny X-Men, Age of Apocalypse. I had all of that stuff. Deviate, Gen 13. What else did I read? I read some Deadpool stuff. Teen Titans, Young Justice, Impulse. That's pretty much all I read back then.
How do you think that comics are influential to kids? I think they are on some level. Like, for me personally, you know, you find a character that you can connect with, and you realize, oh wow, like that was like it was written for me. Yeah. Do you think that's influential in the lives of like teenagers and young adults?
Yeah, I mean, you can find a character that you can relate to in comics, and if you read the right ones. I think why X-Men was so popular to me, because they're outcasts. It's basically racism that they're talking about the entire time. And I picked up on that kind of quick, but I gravitated towards Nightcrawler because I was the quiet, shy kid in class.
Yeah.
And I had like really bad self-esteem issues, and Nightcrawler was like just a standout in that group because he's blue. He had to wear like a holographic thing so he can look normal if he wanted to go to the bar or whatever. So he had to put on another face, which I kind of had to learn how to do growing up, which is like just to break out of my shell.
Yeah.
So you can kind of find your own character or relate to a character in that sense.
Interesting. You mentioned music and video games. What games did you play as a kid?
I had a Nintendo, Sega Genesis, Super Nintendo. I had a Sega Nomad, Game Boy.
Oh, a Nomad. Wow.
Yeah, I still got the Nomad. My son plays with the Nomad, and actually he plays Shinobi 3 and Rocket Knight Adventures. Those are the only 2 Sega games I still have.
That's awesome.
So he plays those. And that thing eats batteries. So I just used the Sega Genesis adapter to just plug it into it. So I was like, no, I'm not paying for 6 batteries.
No.
And what else did I have? I had a PlayStation, didn't have a 2, had an Xbox, had a Dreamcast. And when PlayStation hit, that's when I got a job. Because my grandma was like, I'm not buying any more games for you. So right. I was like, all right, I'm 14. I can get a job somewhere, hopefully. And I started over the summer. I was working with my aunt at a restaurant. So basically, I worked that entire summer to buy video games. And this was apparently the summer of fighting games from Capcom, because Street Fighter Alpha 3 came out that year.
Yeah.
Rival Schools, Darkstalkers 3. And then Ridge Racer 4 came out. Rival Schools. So that entire summer was me playing games.
Right.
If I wasn't working, I was just a recluse, getting blisters on that PlayStation gamepad. So
those were good times. What was your favorite system?
Favorite system, man, that's hard. Man, old would probably be, man, that's really tough to say. I have to say the Sega was my favorite one.
Sega Genesis?
Sega Genesis was my favorite system.
Okay.
Back then.
Okay.
Sonic alone, Sonic 2, Sonic 3, Sonic & Knuckles, Streets of Rage 2, Altered Beast. I mean, those are all classic games to me.
Those are good games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was always more of a Nintendo guy. Super Nintendo was where it was at for me.
Yeah.
Some good games. You know, the music in games, you know, when we were younger, was a huge part of games. It's not really so much anymore. Like, we record our shows on Thursday nights, and last week we talked about, well, this week, I guess, comes out tomorrow. We talked about the new consoles, and we even did last week's show. We had a segment about violence in video games. Anytime we talk about video games specifically, like, you know, we try to highlight some of the music from those particular games, but, you know, generalize, it's like, well, you know, what do we really do? There's not really much music that is influential in video games anymore.
Right.
And we actually pulled a track from Watch Dogs this week for the segment that we talked about. Mm-hmm. It's really good. Like, it was really good. The last game that I played with really good music was probably Tomb Raider. And it's really just not a focus anymore. I'm not really sure why, because, you know, one of our guys can play a song from one of the Final Fantasies and he'll know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, some of the music was so, you know, definitive in games of the past. It really makes you wonder why they don't do that. You know, why it's not really a focus anymore. But it's really interesting to talk to different people, and, you know, they may like a totally different system, but music is still just as, the music in those games is just as influential to them as those games were. It's really interesting how that was such a huge focus in the 80s and 90s, but it's not really so much anymore.
I think it's still a big focus. It's still a big focus for that. It just depends on what you play. Like, I was put onto quite a bit of music on some video games. Like, of course, PlayStation era. Let me say PlayStation and Xbox era of games. Madden always had like an artist.
Yes.
Back in like 2000, I remember Ludacris was
intro.
And I was like, dang, this is really cool. And then next thing you know, word of mouth comes out and he's like this big star. I was like, okay, this sounds like the guy in that Madden game I played.
Right.
And then later on in Xbox, I'm playing Def Jam Fight for New York. And whenever I hear Pistol Grip Pump, I think of that game. And it's hilarious. It's like certain songs I relate to those games now. Some music in the Grand Theft Auto series I relate to that now.
Right.
So especially in Vice City, it was just
the music in Vice City
was so good.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff that they're creating now, they're getting back to the chiptune area with Anamaguchi and stuff like that.
We're
getting really good. I played recently Double Dragon Neon.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so good. It's like set in the 80s. It's like super cheesy in the dialogue, but all the music is like so fitting and it's so good in that game.
You should check out some friends of ours, I Fight Dragons.
Uh-huh.
They I think they actually had the most popular video on Nintendo's 3DS shop for a while. They do chiptune stuff too, and it's pretty good stuff. And it's a lot like Anamataguchi. Their sounds are very similar. And there's a group that we kind of got in contact with early on when we started doing this, that their entire thing is every bit of, well, except for one album. Like, their whole reason that they are a group is because all their music is based around Mega Man. Mm. It doesn't sound like Mega Man. It's based on the story of Mega Man.
Oh, okay.
And it's really, really cool. I mean, really, really cool stuff. It's, I mean, like, you listen to it and you have no idea, but they're, it's really neat stuff. And actually, when we talked to them, they, you know, when they first started out, they were featured in Nintendo Power. And that was like their first sign that Nintendo wasn't going to sue them
right.
for using their stuff. And their live performances are really cool. But so is I Fight Dragons. I Fight Dragons is really cool stuff. They actually have a new album coming out sometime soon that they kickstarted. How about social media? How does social media help you as a DJ?
It helps a little. I guess it depends. It helps a little bit. As far as, I use it mostly for promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
Some DJs that I know, they'll be spinning, and they'll be like, oh, look at this crowd here at such and such club. And I'm like, dude, I'm like, how do you have time to do that? Like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to play next, and I'm reading the crowd. I don't have time to, like, pull out my phone, record, type a whole message, and all this stuff. I'll do it before, and I may do it after, but I try to keep it. I do a little bit. Like, I do, like, a couple of things on Instagram.
Yeah.
I fell back on Twitter a lot because it's just gotten kind of ridiculous for me. It got to a point where I was at a point in my life where I noticed myself just staring down at my phone. So I had to break myself of that.
Mm-hmm.
So now I just really just post stuff on Facebook or I do stuff on Tumblr as well. And I'll forward it to Twitter and Facebook.
Tumblr's actually super popular.
Yeah.
It's a really cool place.
Yeah, I like Tumblr. I like it so much that that's what my DJYoungVenom.com is. It's just basically my Tumblr.
That's cool.
So
Tumblr's an interesting community. We, in the course of what we do, we've gotten connected to several people who do cosplay. And it's actually a really good community for them because they get a lot of feedback from people, but they get to connect with other people who, you know, had the same ideals, you know, maybe they've wanted to do it before and haven't really had, you know, the encouragement to do it. Tumblr's a great place for that, for people to connect and really talk about some nifty stuff. Whereas, you know, sometimes Twitter and Facebook's just like, I'm eating a cheeseburger. You know,
yeah.
Yeah. Twitter's really good though. I'm a Twitter guy, but Tumblr is a really cool place.
Yeah.
That's really kind of started to pick up some momentum. You know, where that's where people want to go, where they feel like they can share their ideas and stuff that they're working on. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So if you had to make one mixtape for the rest of your life, 10 tracks, what is it?
10 tracks. So I have to give you all just the 10 tracks?
Yeah, just 10 tracks.
Oh, man, that is not fair.
It's totally fair.
That is not fair at all.
This is an industry question.
That is not an industry question sure at all. Who told you that?
10 tracks. For the rest of your life.
Oh, is this just personally for me?
It's personally for you.
Okay, for 10 tracks for the rest of my life, probably... Let's see. Tribe Called Quest Footprints. Let's see. Man, that is not a fair question to ask.
It's a totally fair question. I could have said 5. That'd have been even worse.
That'd been fine. I've been 5 and 5. 10 is a lot. Let's see. The demo version of Pretty Young Thing by Michael Jackson.
Mm.
The demo version, though, not the original. Let's see. That is not cool, dude. Prince. What is the name of that song? It's a Prince song I like. Prince is I Feel For You.
Okay.
Not Shaka Khan's version. Let's see. It's 3.
We'll let you do five.
Yeah, let's just do five because it's going to take a while. De La Soul's Much More, Camp Lo's Luchini.
Okay. All right. That's not a bad tape right there. That's a pretty tough question. You know, like, the great thing about music is, well, I think they do a really good job in the movie High Fidelity with John Cusack and Jack Black, where Cusack has like a mixed, you know, like a top five list for this and a top five list for that.
Right.
I think somebody actually says to him, "What's your top five all-time favorite songs?" And he said, "For which day?"
Right. You know, it's like that.
So, you know, to be able to at least say this is like the definitive music that I want to listen to the rest of my life. That's a pretty tough question. But you got some pretty good folks on there, so I'll give that to you. What do you see? How do you see this going for the next year, 5 years, 10 years?
Hopefully I'll get to do some more traveling as a DJ. That's what I would like. I'm starting to do production.
Yeah.
And I'm actually working with this group called Today's Future Sound. And they do production classes for underprivileged kids in areas, and they teach them how to do beats and production and stuff like that. So I'm supposed to be meeting up with one of the guys tomorrow on how to organize these classes. So I'm gonna start doing that here, after school program here in Jackson, hopefully. I'm gonna do that, and of course I'm gonna keep doing the record swap. And I think it's been growing ever since. When I started, I only had 10 vendors. Now I'm up to like 20, 24 vendors coming from around the southern states.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah,
music is just as important as comics to a lot of people. The same level of importance. We just moved into a space in Corinth that, like, when we were looking for spaces, like, yeah, it's time to do this. The space that we've moved into was actually the first space that I wanted, because for 5-6 years it was a record shop. It was the guy's dream, his lifelong dream, to own his own music store. And he did vinyl and CDs and rented movies and had shirts, and it was a really cool little place. And he has probably one of the most amazing tastes in music of anybody I've ever met. And so when I found out that was available, I thought, man, I have to go there. Like, that has to be the place. Because, you know, for a lot of folks, it was just a place to go. But for a lot of other people, you know, he really, like, he would get you anything that you wanted.
Right.
You just have to ask him. I mean, I could have gotten it off Amazon, but I would rather have gotten it from him. And the economy and Redbox pretty much ended his business. But, you know, like, I told him when we were getting ready to do this, I talked with him a little bit about it. And, you know, because that spot had such a huge impact on me personally, I felt like I would at least be able to honor him with that, by, you know, having some tie still there for Top Shelf Records. So music is a very, very powerful and important thing. And, you know, to me, you're the first guy that I've ran across that music is just as powerful in their life as comics are. That's a really cool thing. Where can people find you on Tumblr and Facebook and all that stuff?
You can find me online, djyoungvenom.com. Instagram and Twitter / DJ Young Venom. Facebook's a little bit more trickier. It's Violator DJ Young Venom.
Cool.
Because I'm part of the Violator All-Star DJs. It's a worldwide DJ organization founded by Chris Lighty. And he was the manager for Q-Tip, Busta Rhymes, Missy Elliott, Violator Management.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really cool. All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
No, thank you.
This has been a Just Us Geeks interview.